he loves us.
How many of us here today can consider that when we begin to even consider his love and how he loves us, think of all the changes that have come about in our life because of his love, his great love, his tender mercy, his kindness. Love is truly a game changer. Love is absolutely what changes and has changed and will continue to change our life. And not just any love, but it's the great love of God. It's good to be home. We enjoyed a quick trip to Michigan where Madeline graduated and is now on sound tour. Failed to mention, but I'd like to ask you now, would you pray for their sound tour, their safety? They'll be traveling around 6,000 miles in 3 weeks and the remainder of 17 concerts still to go. That the Lord would bless their voices, their travel, and most of all, their message of God's love. Amen. So if you would just keep that in mind. Also, there was another announcement that I failed to mention, and so I ask your forgiveness again. But Siskiyou camps are coming up soon. You guys are all well aware of that. It's a common activity for many years now. But there are scholarships available for those kids that might need the scholarship funds to attend. And there's some deadlines in there. You have an insert in your bulletin. Would you take time to look at that and consider that for your situation and your family? It's a beautiful, wonderful thing and a great opportunity for these kids to get together and learn all they can about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the life that he can take them into. So today, you may have noticed that the title of the message is Change Your World. And immediately I began to think, boy, I would love to change this old world. Anybody with me? Amen. Change this old world. But that's really not what the title says. It says change your world. And these two will mesh together quite well, I believe. But there's some things we'd like to consider today. Would you join me as we pray again and ask you, Father, be with us, guide us, and direct us. Let the words that are spoken today be from you only. And if I speak something on my own accord, take it from our memory. We don't need that. We need you and we need more of you. Bless our time together. May you be glorified in it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, to change your world, let's start out with this. We all want to do well, right? Nothing wrong with that. We want to succeed. We want to have victories in life. We want to have positive events, activities. We want to play a positive role in the lives of others. I'm thinking about a text of Scripture, just a couple of verses that a few years back was really taken and just kind of exploded, and a book was written, and it's, we won't really get into the fullness of that. I was quite a bit younger, and I still don't know if I understand completely how you do a huge thing with just a couple of verses, but it's pretty powerful, and maybe you could help me with understanding. But in 1 Chronicles 4, with this idea that we all desire to be successful, I think it's okay that we even seek that and pursue it within certain boundaries. And listen to this in 1 Chronicles 4, and just read a couple of verses there. 9 and 10, it says this, you're familiar with it. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. Verse 10 says, and Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And it says, and God granted that which he requested. Isn't that amazing? There's this this phrasing, this oh that phrase, this oh that. And if we wanted to get all King James, how many of us would be, oh, that my children would listen to me. Oh, that the grass would quit growing and I wouldn't have to mow it every week. From what I hear, that's probably going to happen before too long, right? It's going to get brown, and I wasn't expecting that. Oh, that this. Jabez says, oh, that God would bless me. Oh, that you would bless me, enlarge my coast. Keep me from evil. Wow. So this idea of changing our world and really making a difference, that's a good thing, and having success. And it's delivered here in a sense that it's crying out to God and asking God for his blessing, asking him to protect and to lead, protect from what is wrong and bad and evil and wicked, and protect us from that, and take us into where your blessing is, take us where your goodness is. And that's a wonderful thing. That's a thing that we can be encouraged to do. Nothing wrong with that. Absolutely. I want to take us to another, oh, that statement. And it's from the psalmist, Psalm 107. There seems to be within this psalm a roller coaster ride of oppression, affliction, and sorrow to fruitful blessing and increase. And then there's a key verse that is repeated often within just this psalm. And it's a beautiful, oh, that statement that our Heavenly Father, that some of you parents may say, oh, that my kid, well, listen to this. And it's several times here. I'm going to read verse 15 and you'll see it throughout this. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. To me, there seems to be a key. This is a retelling of the time in the wilderness and the up and the down and this song of sorrow and oppression, but yet victory. And there seems to be this key that's repeated that God is wanting us to hear. Oh, that we would praise him, give thanks to him, recognize him, glorify him, and even expect then the blessings of God, and that our world would be changed, that your world would be changed. In this couple of verses back in First Chronicles, there's even that tone that says from a very low pit of sorrow. Now, I don't want to spend a lot of time there, but even some very difficult time of sin, and because Jabez's mother says that named him Jabez because he was born in sorrow. There's some heavy stuff that goes on there. Look at it. Take a gander at that verse, that word, and see what it might be. But you know, from the depths of wrong and sin and ugly comes victory in Jesus. And there's a key that says, I believe, oh, that my people would. Do we believe that God is able and has the privilege, and even more so, has the right to say, would you thank me? Would you honor me? Would you follow me? Well, here's the thing, and we're going to step away from that and kind of go in this direction for just a minute. That kind of lays the foundation of things to think about, things to consider. And I right away want to come to the point, the crux of this message, and there it is, brothers and sisters. You think about changing your world? You're thinking about making a difference? The truth is, our world, your world, my world, has already been changed. Even as we can look around and see the despair and the darkness all around us, it's not because there's not an option of hope. It's not because there's just despair and nothing else. See, changing our world is hinging upon And making a difference then is hinging upon us counting on, being dependent on, and trusting in what God has already done to change my world, your world. And I want to go to the very basics. I'm going to go back to the very basics of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Amen? See, that's when God changed the world. And all the kids and adults and young adults that are going to Yakima Mission Trip are saying, Pastor Tim, you're using the stage to get extra practice in for Yakima Mission Trip. Yes, I am. No, I'm not. This is the message for today, but it just happens to be something that we have a desire and a heart and a commission to go share. And this very specific thing is we're going to go share it in Yakima for these young kids and their families, we pray. But see, this is when God changed the world for you and me. Why is this on my mind? Well, last week, with the opportunity to speak to the graduating seniors in this at the Springville Christian School 2019 commencement ceremonies, say all of that. We have different times in our life, and it's not just at graduation time, but it's when we have wake up moments. When we have opportunity to kind of think for a minute and say, you know what, I want to do something different. I want to change the world around me. And that's all a wonderful thing. Just remember the "oh, that" statement. That's a wonderful thing. Change your world, yes. But the reality is we cannot reinvent the wheel. This is a done thing. The change that we need has already taken place. God has already given us every tool, every blessing, every opportunity to come into his presence and receive what will change your life, my life, and the lives of those that would receive it. Why? The verse we just read. And another verse in 2 Corinthians 5:21. Again, mission trip, listen. You might have to help me with the words. Or I could turn to it. For he made him to be sin for us. Let's back up. For he, our heavenly Father, made him, the Son, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. Does that change your world? Brothers and sisters, that changes your world. That changes your life. That changes your perspective. That changes your ability to be successful, or leaves you without it, leaves you in despair, in discouragement, and in a position or a place of being lost. We have the opportunity to have a changed life. And why would we want to talk about that today? Where predominantly everyone that I'm seeing as a whole, there may be some of you here that have not received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, but as I scan the congregation, I would say most of us here, if not all, have received this beautiful blessing of a life-changing event. Young people, if you're here and you're younger, I'm looking at a couple. I'm looking at one, and then I'll look away and see some others. There may be some of you here who are younger and you're coming up. You might want to think about changing your life. But why would I want to tell the entire congregation about changing your world? Because, Brother Tim, we already know about this. Oh, that my people would praise me. Would bless me indeed, would praise me indeed, and that they would follow after my ways. I'm paraphrasing a bit of that verse from Psalms, but God is saying, wherever you are and whatever point in your journey after accepting this life-changing, world-changing truth, wherever you are, you're not finished with this message. You're not your time is not complete with going back to the basics. I think it's so important as pastors and as leaders and as mother and father, grandparents in our homes, that we return to the foundation and the basics of the good news on a regular basis, because in that is where we find that life-changing moment that sets our path and our course on a destination of success, which is eternity. We've got to return there often. And powerfully return there with boldness. Today, it's not the message that says, change your life for the first time, perhaps, but it's the message that I want to reach out to you. I feel that God is reaching out to us to more fully embrace Jesus as our example, to more completely take hold of what it means to be like Christ. And in that life-changing moment, what did he do? He came and laid down his life, and that's the greatest example that you and I could follow. To change your world, and even to change the world around you, that is to have influence on your children, grandchildren, neighbors, and friends. That would be to lay down your life, just as Jesus did in that life-changing moment. I want to read in 2 Corinthians. We already quoted one verse from there, 5 and verse 20. And we want to go back to 2 Corinthians now in the 5th chapter. And I want to back up just for a moment to verse 17. And we think about a changed life. It really is different. It really has different definition. Because of this one event in our history where God says, this is the answer. My son is the answer. And some of you, if you're like me, you can look back in the steps of your life and realize and understand this. I have not always embraced the example of Jesus Christ in my life. I have at times stepped away from his examples to the point that I may not be recognizable as a Christian, as a person who is Christ-like. And if that is the case with you, if you would introspect some for a moment and you would find that to be true, isn't it time to reacquaint yourself with that life-changing moment and begin to feel the fire of this life-changing moment? It's not something a one and done. It's not that deal, brothers and sisters. It's an ongoing change. As we back up in this 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, and we look at verse 17, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, or he is a renewed creature. Been renewed lately, brothers and sisters? Do you feel new, or do you feel used? I don't know. I was going to say pre-owned. That didn't sound right. Do you feel used up? If we're in Jesus Christ, we are a new creature. We are a renewed creature. And guess what happens? Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. What an amazing thing. That sounds like we're talking about a changed life, a changed world in you and around you. Yeah, but some people don't forget it. Who chose for you Jesus? Did you get to choose Jesus for yourself? So does everyone around you. Some will, some will not. That decision must not affect yours. The decision to ignore, turn away from, simply not accept Jesus. We must stand against that. Maybe we could say like Jabez, bless me, Lord, and keep me from evil. But on the other hand, as our life is changed and as old things are passed away and I'm renewed, guess what happens? I have the blessing and privilege and opportunity to influence even your own children. Who, by the way, ready for sad news? They get to choose too. Kids, don't be offended. Don't be offended. The reason I say it's sad news is because every parent in this room would love to make the decision for you to accept Jesus Christ and just let it be done so we could rest at night and have peace. But the reality is, change life, change the world around you. It happened one time, one event. Jesus died. You get to choose it, or you get to turn away from it. Parents, you see the necessity of going back to the basics. You see the truth and the power of going back to the basics and really understanding where our change happened, where it came from, and how we have the power, as the scripture says, the power to be the sons of God. Our children see that, hey, they're the son and daughter of the King, the Creator, the God of all things. I want some of that. They get to choose. As we read on, all things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself. By who? By Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Listen to verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. We are ambassadors for Christ. What does that mean? We represent Jesus. I can go and change the world as Tim Hines, nearly 50-year-old, boot-wearing grocery man from the 80s, and have really not much success, if any at all. Or I can come to you or go there or there as a representative of Jesus Christ, a representative of Jesus Christ, and have the power of world-changing strength and Holy Spirit moving within my influence. Which one would I choose? Which one would you choose? Are we disconnected? You would say, Pastor Tim, well, it's still the same guy. You're still going. But who's in charge? As a representative of Jesus Christ, you and I have the opportunity to go, not in our words, not in our name, not in our power or strength, not in our wisdom, but in all of that which belongs to Jesus Christ and the power of his death and resurrection. The power of the gift that God gave, this life-changing moment that we can take hold of and live in to be influential toward changing this world. Now, we are ambassadors for Christ, said, be reconciled to God. Paul is telling them everything that they've been about, everything that they want to influence in, this life-changing thing that they've experienced. But it comes down to the bottom line is this. He says, you get to choose. He says, be reconciled to God. That's where it's at. You get to choose. Brothers and sisters, once we choose, we also get to walk. We also get to live. We also get to experience, if we would allow it, an ongoing renewal to that life that is our example, representing Jesus Christ. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The next verse starts a new chapter, but I think it goes very well here. In verse 1 of 2 Corinthians 6, we then as workers together with him beseech you also, that you receive not the grace of God in vain. We desire good. The truth is, God desires good for his people. We don't see a lot of people standing in line. If they've got two lines, one says good, one says evil. Oh, I'll pick evil. We don't stand in that line, do we? No. Not generally. Not on purpose. Not intentionally. Now, sometimes we choose it haphazardly or with a thought of rebellion. Sure. But we have the opportunity to change our world, thus changing the world around us because of God's grace. Because Jesus did what we couldn't do. Therefore, we have the opportunity to be the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. And I find it interesting that the next verse says, please don't let this grace be given in vain. God changed our world with one loving act. He changed my life and your life with one loving act, and that is the gift of Jesus. And to allow that gift to go unused, not taken, not picked up, what a shame that would be. As followers of Christ, as disciples of Jesus, and as brothers and sisters together, it would be so encouraging and will be so much of a blessing that you and I would work together to encourage one another. We've heard encouraging one another a couple of times today. To encourage one another to return to the basics. Be renewed in our spirit that Jesus is a life changer. And God changed our world with Jesus. It would be so encouraging that we would say to one another, God's grace to be used in vain would keep you and I just sitting on the sidelines. But to appreciate the full blessing of God's grace and what Jesus has done for you and me, the word says that we could be the righteousness in God. So changing our world doesn't just have this change that says, because our world has changed, there is a brand new destination and we're all praising God for it. And we are. Anybody with me on that one? We praise God because of what we get to experience. But it doesn't leave this life unaffected. It doesn't leave this life untouched. It does not say that we would be the righteousness of God for one purpose, and that is to do whatever we want now and then enjoy eternity with God. No, it's to let it go in vain means to let it come in and not have it affect our life, our world, your world. Change your world and let obedience come in. Let the righteousness of God. What is the righteousness of God? You find it in His Word. You find it mirrored to us in the life of Jesus Christ. You find it when it says that we can take hold of all the character and the nature, the fruit of the Spirit, everything that is God, His image that has been placed in us, we let that come to life and we let those things change our world. Changing your world means changing our behavior, your behavior. I don't act the same. I don't speak the same. I don't live the same. I think Paul's encouraging them, please don't let this beautiful gift, please don't let this thing that God has offered us, you, I, we can become the righteousness of God. Why? Because we're so good? No, because Jesus is perfect and holy, and we can take hold of that, and that changes our world. Don't reinvent it. Don't look for good somewhere else. Don't look for change that comes at our own strength and power if we do this formula, this system, this way. No, look at what God has preserved for us and walk in it. That's why Jesus died, to save us and to renew us in a life that's not the same as it was when we were lost. Changing your world simply means being willing to accept what God did to bring about that change. Accepting the gift. Don't let His grace go in vain, brothers and sisters. Don't let the gift go forgotten, left on a shelf, left in the corner. Return to it. Have yourself be reminded. Have your heart and mind be reminded and been reliving. What is that change? Let it be real. I'll ask the sisters who are going to sing to come forward. Thank you for your kindness as you listen today. And I just want to encourage you and remind you that changing your world and the world around you is a good thing. But you don't have to do it. You don't have to figure it out. It's spelled out for us. It's been done. You just got to take it.
The prophecy was given long ago. Old Isaiah knew the Lord would overcome and send to us salvation. And our Lord has promised all through these years He would wipe away all our tears with the blood.
Thinking that that verse we kind of ended with, that verse that says, don't let God's grace go in vain. And I think for myself, and I don't know if anyone else is catching this, but I've been reminded and encouraged and blessed today to remember
what is the basis of my salvation and the basis of how God has changed my world for his good, for my own good, rather, to glorify him. And then we have this song based in this scripture that says this in 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. See, God says, don't let my grace go in vain. And then if you work for me, it's all good. You do what I tell you to do. Be obedient. Love me back the way I've loved you. And it won't be in vain. I think it's good to be reminded. Are you happy that God is on the throne and that he is calling you into his service? Are you happy about that today? Are you happy that you can count on him? Are you overjoyed even? No. Are you thrilled? Let me just try this again. Brothers and sisters, let me do it this way. Are you thrilled to be here? Because if you're thrilled to be here, I just can't wait till you get out there. You know, I joke around some and kid a lot, but we don't want to take God's grace in vain. And see, that's something that we can have a part in. We can make the right choices. Young people, you can make the right choices. But I'm reminded with this verse and this beautiful song that when we make that choice, when we surrender to the Lord, when we decide and commit to work for him, it won't be in vain. It's just like his word won't return void, right? See, God is always going to outgive, outlove, outdo us. But how about if we just pour on the allegiance and the devotion and the commitment to him with every bit of energy and strength that we possibly can. Amen? Let's live for him and see how he works through our lives to change us, continually renew us, and to change those around us. Father, we praise you today. We thank you for your love. We thank you for the gospel message, the good news of Jesus Christ, that event, that one thing that changed it all for us. From hopelessness to hope, from despair to victory, that's the thing, that's it, your love right there. Thank you for that. And everything is based right there, our faith in you, our dependence upon that truth, and all the words then that you deliver from that point on that just bless us, encourage us, and grow us in your word and in your way and in your will. We praise you for that. And Lord, help us to share your works with others, your mighty deeds. We want to glorify you with our mouth, with our hands and our feet. Go with us today. Bless our time of fellowship. And we just pray again that you would be glorified as we live for you. Help us. In Jesus' name, amen.